to experience God in the nasty here and now and not have to wait for the sweet by and by is going to require something from you and me.
Dr. Tony Evans says we have some decisions to make.
Heaven has been covered by the blood. Earth requires a price.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Salvation is a free gift from God with no strings attached. But today, Dr. Evans explains that following Christ here on earth comes at a price that not everyone is willing to pay. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9 as we join him.
In education, higher education, institutions of learning will allow you to audit classes. If you audit a class, that means you want the information, but you don't want to do any of the work. You don't want to take any tests. You don't want to do any papers, and you don't want to be forced to read any books. But you want what the teacher has to offer. So you want the data without the investment. Now, when you audit a class, it's true. You don't have to take tests. You don't have to read the books if you don't want to. You don't have to do any of the papers. But neither will you get a grade, nor will you get class credit. A lot of folk come to class on Sunday because they want to get the information. They want to hear what's preached and enjoy what's sung. And so they come to class. Many will even take notes during the message. But we'll call it audit church because they don't intend on doing anything with it. They don't intend on applying it, living by it, or having it instruct them in their decision making. But they just love the teaching and sometimes the teacher, and they love the classroom. They like how the school looks. So they want to come to class for the data. And some won't even miss a class. But it won't matter because there'll be no credit because there was no investment. And so God has to contend with auditing Christians. Christians who don't want credit, but they want information. It is my contention that when God is not put in the first place position in your life, in my life, and in our choices, something is lost in our experience with Him. For our Christian walk, we're not talking about salvation. Salvation is free. It comes by faith alone in the finished work of Christ. However, Jesus has made it clear that discipleship and our experience with Him on earth cost. It requires some decisions that have to be made. Heaven has been covered by the blood. Earth requires a price. To experience God in the nasty here and now and not have to wait for the sweet by and by is going to require something from you and me. And we're going to discover that in our passage today. In Luke chapter 9, it's a story of three men who come in contact with Jesus Christ who face a decision about whether he will be first. In verse 57 of Luke chapter 9, we read, as they were going along, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Matthew chapter 8 tells the same story, and it says the man who said this to him was a scribe, a teacher of the law, and he said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. So here it doesn't tell us who it was. Matthew 8 tells us who it was, a teacher of the law who said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, I don't know about you, but this sounds like a spiritual man to me. It sounds like a committed Christian to me. Because he says, I will follow you wherever. Wherever you go, I'm going with you. I'm with you. I'm a Jesus man. I'm a Jesus freak. I'm going where you go. Jesus answers this man by saying, The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man, verse 58 says, has nowhere to lay his head. Now, why does Jesus answer such a positive statement, I'll follow you wherever you go, with a statement about where foxes are going to sleep, where birds are going to sleep, and that he has no place that has been set out for him to sleep? What Jesus is asking the scribe is, are you only hanging with me because of the goodies that you see I can produce? Because I'm going to let you know now, fella, there will be times when it won't always be like this. There are going to be times when we won't know where we're going to sleep tonight. There will be times when there is no raise. There will be times when you won't get promoted. There will be times when you won't feel good in your body. There will be times when you will not be popular. And I want to know right now, are you going to hang with me then, or are you just hanging with me now because you see I'm on a roll? He comes to the second man. Verse 59, he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first, as our word first, to go and bury my father. Now, to any reasonable person, that is a reasonable request. But look at Jesus' response. He says to him in verse 60, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Jesus, that's cold. That's cold. That's cold. All a man wants to do is bury his daddy. Which would have been fine if his daddy was already dead. Why does he need to bury his father? Because when his father dies, he gets the inheritance. In other words, he wanted to shore up his security before he made a decision to follow. That's why Jesus tells him, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. Because the daddy hadn't died yet. So when you follow me, whenever your daddy does die, there'll be plenty of sinners who are locked into this physical world to make sure your daddy is buried. But you don't spend your lifetime waiting to get security before you make a decision to follow me. A lot of us have said in one way or another, Jesus, I'll follow you when my train comes in, when I get my raise, when my children are gone, when I get promoted. I'll make time for you when this happens and when that happens. And what we do is we create a delay in order to shore up our worldly security. Guy number three. The last one. Another said to him, I will follow you, Lord. But first, I ain't going to do what the guy you just talked to said. His was indefinite. Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go home and say bye. I'm going to go home to my people and I'm going to say bye. Says, Lord. And he had the right language. Lord. First, permit me to say goodbye to those at home. Just permit me to go home and say, hey, y'all, I'm following Jesus. Bye. Just let me say bye, and I'm going to come back, and we're going to roll on, Jesus. Well, why that sound good? Because, you know, we all talk that way. I love the Lord. He heard my cry. You know, we all sound good, but Jesus' answer tells us what he was saying. Because Jesus can look beyond the words and see what's behind the words. So Jesus says, no one. That means him and me and you. Nobody. After putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So wait a minute, the man made a positive request. I'm going to go by home, say goodbye, then I'm going to follow you. And Jesus gives a negative reply. So Jesus knew in the request was a caveat. He says, no one putting his hand to the plow. So he's got this farming illustration, and he grabbed the plow. Now, what was grabbing the plow? The commitment to follow. The man said, I'm grabbing this plow, and I'm going to follow you, Jesus. However, I need to tell my people, bye. So he grabs the plow to say, I'm going to plow forward, but looks back home.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to help us understand that illustration from a modern-day perspective. What are the distractions that make it hard to keep your eyes focused forward on your faith? Whatever they are, we'd like to help you find the motivation and direction you need to clear them away. A great place to start is by reviewing Tony's current teaching series called First, Restoring God to His Rightful Place. It explores key areas where our faith sometimes tends to lose focus, like our career choice and work habits, our commitment to God's agenda instead of our own, our dependence on God's Word, our prayer life, our giving, and more. As the saying goes, first things first, and that's the point of this 7-lesson series that we'll send you as our gift if you can help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any size. Just visit TonyEvans.org. Make your donation online and request your copy of First, Restoring God to His Rightful Place. That's TonyEvans.org. Or call 1-800-800-3222, where the friendly people on our resource team are standing by day and night to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, stay with us. I'll have that information for you again after part two of today's lesson and this.
The biblical roles of husbands and wives, the source of our authority as believers, understanding the concept of grace, winning spiritual battles. They're all important subjects, but seem as different as night and day. Would it surprise you to know there's a common thread running through all four? You can discover what it is by taking the course on Ephesians in the Tony Evans Training Center. One by one, you'll dig into the powerful themes of this book and make new discoveries about what Jesus' death accomplished, how to maintain unity at home and at church, what spiritual armor is all about. The course includes custom content from Tony, not available anywhere else. Work through it at your own pace. Collaborate with other students. Get your specific questions answered through our online forum. Connect with the Tony Evans Training Center at TonyEvans.org. It's like having a seminary on your smartphone or other device. Start today. TonyEvans.org.
Have you ever seen a married man that won't leave his mama? Or a married woman that won't leave her daddy? Okay. She grabbed the marriage plow. She said, I do. But he keep thinking about mama back home. And that relationship interferes with the marriage. I'm not talking about honoring mother and father. I'm talking about mom and dad all up in your stuff. Going back home would have created a pull on him. You mean you're going to leave me? You're going to leave me? I'm your mama. I brought you into this world. You're going to leave me? You can't leave me. You know, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be alive. How come you leaving me? He knew that to look back home meant to position himself for his family to overrule his faith, for his people to overrule his commitment. This man is struggling with what many of us struggle with, and that is double-mindedness. He wants the plow. He wants the Jesus piece, but he wants home too. And that emotional tug. In seminary, when I'm going through seminary is really hard, okay? I had to study four languages. I had to study Hebrew. I had to study Greek. I had to study German. I had to study French, okay? You got all these theological papers. But I mean, it's really rigorous. It's like getting a medical degree. It's really rigorous. And sometimes you just got overwhelmed. And you would have assignments due that you knew you weren't going to be able to get in. You just knew. It was just too much. When you knew you couldn't get it in, you'd bring your family up. Yeah, you'd say, My wife is really struggling now with the four kids, and she's kind of overwhelmed, and I've had to give her help. You know, I'd have to help her here and there, and then if the four kids, and then if one of my kids coughed, I'd say, we're worried about pneumonia, and, you know, it's just, they really sick. Now, you bring the family in because you knew that would create a soft spot to buy you time. The use of the family is a regular, half-carnal approach to, because, you'd say enough that it was partially true. A sneeze can lead to pneumonia, all right? So you say enough that's partially true, but you were trying to buy time. He says, first let me go home. Say goodbye, knowing that there would be the pull. Have you ever been behind somebody in line at fast food who couldn't decide what they wanted? They stand and looking at the thing, about, may I take your order? 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 Just a minute. It's a long line, may I take your order? Or maybe you weren't behind somebody, maybe somebody was behind you. And you're saying, you ain't thought about it up front. You frustrated, folk behind you frustrated, horns are blowing. Because you're undecided. You ever been behind somebody whose blinker is blinking right, but they turning left? They confused you. Double-mindedness means that I'm going in two directions at the same time. God, I want you, but I want the world. God, I want you, but I want this that's not in agreement with you. God, I'm trying to figure out a way to get both. So first, hold on, God, don't go nowhere. I'm going to run back over here and see what I can do with this. But don't go nowhere, because I promise you, I'm coming back. And so we go over here. Then we hear a message. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. So we tell the world, world, don't go nowhere. I'll be right back. Jesus needs me. Hold on. We run over to Jesus. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. G, hold on. Well, I'm here, world. I know. Jesus, I'm coming. I told you I'm coming. And back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And then Jesus hits them with the zinger, because Jesus says, no one after putting his hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let me put it in everyday language. I can't use you. I can't use you, because if you got your hand on the plow and you looking back, that means you going crooked, because you can't go straight looking back. You're crooked. You all over the place. You're sometimes in, sometimes down, sometimes up. You're all over the place. You know why Israel didn't make it into the promised land? They kept looking back at Egypt. They say, well, when I was in Egypt, we had meat. When I was in Egypt, we had garlic. When I was in Egypt, we had leeks. When I was in Egypt, we had water. And so they're going all over the place, so they could never get to where God was taking them. And many of us will never arrive at where God wants us to be, because we're in church holding the plow while looking back at what God has delivered us from. The reason why Lot's wife didn't make it is she looked back at the Galleria. She looked back at North Park. She looked back at all the stuff she left, and she turned into a pillar of salt. She kept looking back. She didn't want to let Sodom and Gomorrah go. She says, you're not fit. Let me put it another way. You're not ready yet. You're going to miss some things when you decide to follow Jesus, and you will get homesick. You will get homesick, like a newly married lady may get homesick from the family she grew up in and from the folks who raised her. You're going to get homesick. I got a call from my granddaughter. She's been married since September. I got a call. She said, I miss home. Can I come home? No. No, that's a new situation now. You will get homesick, but even when you homesick, God says, follow me. because I'm going somewhere, and if you will follow me, I'm going to take you where I'm going. And I'm going somewhere. Yes, there will be rough times. There'll be blessings and rough times. And yes, the world, you can't let the physical world dictate your spiritual priority. And yes, I want to be first. I don't want you to make me second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth. I want to be first because I am first. In the beginning, God.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a great illustration to wrap up our time together today. Before he does that, if you're ready to put first things first in your life by making a commitment to Christ, Tony has a word about what does and doesn't get that done.
You're not a Christian because you're religious or because you go to church or even because you believe in God. You're a Christian because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal sin bearer. Being religious, doing good works, that's nice, but it's not sufficient when God demands perfection. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So what God has said is, he placed your sin on the cross, on the Christ, and then judged Christ for your sin. If you will go to Christ, he will take Christ's righteousness, which is perfect, and he will credit it to your account.
Tony has a video that explains exactly how you can do that. Just visit TonyEvans.org, click on the top menu, and follow the Jesus link. While you're there, find out how to join Tony on his journey through the entire Bible this year on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This week, we're focusing on John chapter 17. I also encourage you to contact us and request your copy of his current series, First, Restoring God to His Rightful Place. As I mentioned earlier, it's yours as our gift in appreciation for your contribution of any amount toward Tony's work here on the radio, on television, and with pastors, their congregations, and their families around the world. As always, the details are waiting for you at TonyEvans.org, where we're right in the middle of our summer fun giveaway. Just for the asking, we'll send you a copy of Tony's book, Prayers for Victory in Marriage. It'll do more than teach you what to pray. It'll show you how to connect with the power you need to solve the problems and heal the hurts that break families apart. Again, this book is free, but we only have a limited supply, and when they're gone, they're gone. So don't wait. Visit TonyEvans.org today or call our 24-hour resource center for details, 1-800-800-3222. That's 1-800-800-3222. Reading the Bible is one of the most basic disciplines of the Christian life. But tomorrow, Dr. Evans will teach us the difference between just reading the book and experiencing the Word of God. But right now, let's join him as he brings us this final story.
In baseball, you have one goal, and that is to get home. Everything is about getting the home plate, because until you get the home plate, nothing else you do matters. You can hit, you can catch, you can throw, but if nobody touches home plate, it was all wasted. Because it's all about home plate. You gotta get home to score a run. You gotta get the home plate. But let me tell you a secret. You'll never get the home plate until you touch first. If you don't get the first, you'll never arrive home. First base is a requirement to arrive at what really matters so you can score, and that is home plate. Home plate is only achievable if you make it to first. A lot of us go to God and say, "Take me home." God says, "Come the first." "God, deliver me." God says, "Come the first." "God, position me." He says, "Come the first." Because we want him to take us home while we want to ignore first base. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." He wants to be first.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.